to Luke chapter 13. Last Tuesday night, people asked me, as we were sitting together studying the word, hey, Pastor, what are you going to preach on Sunday? I said, normally I only know by Thursday, earliest. This time I happen to know, and the Holy Spirit says, go tell that fox. I have to figure out who the fox is. No, I don't have to figure out. They show up everywhere. Those foxes are everywhere. So there's one animal that will never extinct, that never gets extinct. These are the foxes. Some of them are on four legs, others are on two legs. But oh boy, are they everywhere. And so Jesus is doing an incredible amount of teaching. He knows that he has a lot of enemies because he knows the Father has sent them into territory that is ruled by the prince of darkness. Jesus knows all this. It's nothing new. We should know that too. So in chapter 13, beginning in verse 31, we jump in and read our text, and then we go back a little bit further in the same chapter and put it into the context. Here it was what it says. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, that's to Jesus, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Incredible news, isn't it? And he said to them, go tell that fox. Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Then he adds this. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? You were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Or the Lord. I would have loved to be there. I would have loved to analyze the faces of the Pharisees. Once Jesus told them, I give you an assignment. Go back where you came from. Go back to Jerusalem. You have dinner and lunch or breakfast and all the other goodies with Herod because you think he is going to help you solve the problems. But I tell you, go and tell that fox. There's nothing he can do. I have been called by the Father to call me. I will work today. I will work tomorrow. And on the third day, I will complete the whole thing. And when it's completed, by the way, here's the warning. I tried all of you to come to my Father. Like a hen, I tried to gather you. But you have decided to follow Herod's dictate and not listening to what I say. And because of that, your house is forsaken. It will come down. Jesus speaks to God's people. To God's people. If you want to see the context why Jesus was so adamant about it, go back to verse 22 in the same chapter. This is what he was just teaching before. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Have you ever asked that question? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know you, where you came from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and taught in your streets or in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I don't know where you come from. Depart from me. All your workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west, from north and south, and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This teaching triggered the Pharisees to get into action. They did not like what Jesus just told them. And in order to just confront him, because they knew their wisdom was no match to the Son of God, they tried to manipulate his activities on this earth through fear. Does that sound familiar? Oh, they're going to kill you. How many times did we hear that? You go out from the house, it's going to kill you. If you're going to do this, it's going to kill you. Every time you hear that, you say to the person who tells that to you, go tell that fox. I will work today, I will work tomorrow, and I will work until Jesus takes me home. Go tell that fox. You say, why did Jesus use the word fox? There's a little bit of story behind all this. King Herod was the tetrarch, what they call, of Galilee. Tetrarch simply means in Latin four. So the whole Galilean region was divided into four sections. It would be like four states within the United States of America. And he was the king of Judea, Herod. And he ruled the same territory where Jesus was going about his business. So obviously Herod heard plenty about what Jesus is doing. He came to power because the Roman government liked him. I think he probably cheated when the vote was counted. That's why he got in. Just saying. It was in Herod's territory where Jesus was ministering, and he knew all well that Herod is going to go eventually after him. We all know that Herod the Great, that's this Herod here, Jesus talking to and said, a fox. Herod the Great was that Herod's Antipas' dad. What you may not know, unless you study genealogy in the Bible, is that Herod the Great was an Edomite, come out of the lineage of Esau, the one God said, I hate, because there's nothing good in him. This man is an Edomite, but somehow in the lineage, his family, before Herod was born, decided that they are going to become Jewish. In other words, they kind of sucked themselves into that environment, proclaiming that they are something or someone which they were not. When Jesus says, go tell that fox, Jesus speaks louder than what anyone in the Western culture would fully understand. Because he tells him, go tell him. He's not just a fox, and sly as a fox. He's insulting Herod, because a fox is an unclean animal in the Israelite holiness code. Jesus is telling the Pharisees, you are listening to that guy? He's proclaiming to be the king of the Jews. By the way, the king of the Jews talks to them. He said, you listen and get the orders from him. I tell you what, he is an illegitimate guy. He's a fox. He's an unclean animal in the midst of your nation. He's an unclean animal that rules right now. Go tell him. I know about him. And he has no power over me. I will still cast out demons, and there's nothing he can do about it. I will still heal the sick, and he has no power to stop me. I will go wherever I go, wherever the Father tells me that, I will do. Let's stop there for a second. Aren't we followers of Jesus? Amen. So why do we go where the foxes tell us? Why don't we do what God tells us? I don't care what the foxes say. I told my son I will preach on Sunday about the foxes, but I will not mention any names. He said, Dad, look at me, look at my eyebrows, and then you tell the names. This is the communication we have. In the worship team, we always laugh, and the worship team members say, how did you know that Peter wants this? Or how did Peter know that you want that? And I said, we just look at each other. That's all that takes. What Peter wanted to say is, Dad, tell the congregation, a Fauci is a fox. Tell the people. But I don't have enough room to give you all the names. I can just tell you, foxes are multiplying very fast. In both parties. In the deep state. On state levels. On local levels. Somebody told me this week that in Webster County, which is Fort Dodge area, that they are going on Tuesday to have a meeting at the Board of Supervisors to decide if they want to make a mask mandatory. But they know that they don't have the authority to file any suit against an individual. So what they do is they're going to fine the business who lets you go shopping without a mask, because businesses have state licenses. So I tell you this because 501c3 corporations, which are normally churches and some other, you know, non-profit organizations, not too far in the distance, we are going to hear, if you don't do what we're telling you to do, we take the 501c3 away. Let me tell you something. Go tell that fox, we don't need 501c3. We can live without it. If we have to pay property taxes, we pay property taxes. And if you give to the Lord only because you can deduct it from the taxes, you know what? Don't give it. Give to the Lord because we give to the Lord. We want to see his kingdom advance. We will never, ever bow to foxes, period. Doesn't matter what the costs are. They have no business to come in here because I tell you what, they haven't paid a penny in building this building. That's our building. So I want to make sure that you understand where my mind and heart is. Not that you didn't know that already. But I know some of you people have a short memory, so every so often I have to bring it back. I do not agree with all the things the churches around us do. Shutting down, wearing masks, calling in, all that kind of stuff. Once you give the fox a little foothold, the fox will take the entire hen house. You can't let him come in. I challenge all of you. Order about 20 chicks and invite a fox to come and visit. This is a good application. You can actually watch. The fox is going to go with his little paw. He's saying, it's just so good to see you. Can we play together? Oh, no. Your good meal. And it's gone. That's what the foxes do to us. When we give them a little foothold, what do you think the fox is going to do? We can't give in. I said from day one, we have to stand firm. We can't give in. Do you know what's happening right now? You probably have heard it, I don't know. Years ago, by the way, FEMA, under the FEMA organization, Federal Emergency Management, correct? They raised up a whole group of faith leaders called Clergy Response Team. And they made a commitment to FEMA that when it gets tough, and emergencies are happening, they will actually give the data and the names of the people that are under them. That's one of the reasons why tracing came up. They sold to the churches about 5 years ago software where we can track you under the umbrella that when you come in and or you don't come in, we can actually on the computer look up and then call you, why have you been missing? We didn't see you coming in on Sunday. What they did not know is goes over the internet, and our government knows exactly where goes where to church. There's a reason for that. The fox is watching the hen house. If Jesus would have walked today, the earth, How many of you would say he will call quite a few political, religious, health, and economic leaders foxes? He would have a little notebook with him with the names on it. Foxes are people that pretend to do something for the chicks, when in actuality, they're looking for a meal. These are foxes. They do everything in their power to subject the people into tyranny because they have a plan. Or make no mistakes, the Church of Jesus Christ is the biggest obstacle for them. Because we don't pledge allegiance to tyrannical dictators. Look at what Jesus said in verse 32. Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. Listen, that's something the foxes could not do. They couldn't cast out demons, nor did they have any cures. It might be a hint that Jesus is referring to the ailments of people who are walking on this planet. It might be a hint that Jesus says most problems are connected either to demonic powers or to illnesses. And the foxes always tell you they got the solution. Jesus said, I cast out demons, not they. I heal the sick, not they. You see the focus there? We sometimes read these things and think, well, he only talked to the Pharisees. No. On the third day, I finished my course. He's referring to his resurrection. He will die so you and I can live. He will rise from the dead so you and I have resurrection life. He's referring right to this. They had no idea what they're yet up to. They did not understand. C.S. Lewis wrote a little booklet. It's actually almost a pamphlet. So for those of you who are not so, enthralled reading, you can buy that book. It's about, I think, maybe 70 pages maximum, if you have the big print. So it's just a pamphlet. It's called The Abolition of Man. He said, man's conquest of nature, if the dreams of some scientific planners are realized, means the rule of a few hundreds of men over billions upon billions of men. That needs a little bit explanation. What does it mean, the conquest of nature? Everything that God created is natural. Man is desperately looking to outdo God, to improve God, to control God. I tell you, it's not going to happen. But they sure do. That was written almost 80 years ago. Science has not even advanced 10% what we are seeing today at that time. The exponential curve in knowledge is unbelievable over the last 20 years. 1975, you would have known or not known what a personal computer was. 15 years ago, you had no clue what a smartphone looks like. That's how fast we went. We take everything for granted, but it exponentially explodes. So when C.S. Lewis says, man's conquest of nature, that means man's conquest of what God has created. They want to conquer that. Human being is the chief crown of God's creation. If the dreams of some scientist planners are realized, means that's the way they're going to accomplish it, he said. To the scientific planners, look at this. Science will be used. That's why we always hear now in the tyrannical state of our governments around the world, follow what? It means, whenever you hear that, that means the people who say that, they want to rule over billions of people. And we go, no way. My ruler is Jesus. Every empire on this planet tried to accomplish that utopia, every one of them. There's always someone, however, and I love that, read the history, that's why history is so exciting. There's always someone God is raising up to open the eyes of the people. God never is without a witness. Isn't that awesome? Listen, today is no different. God has his people all over the world. The eyes are being opened and they see it. So many times, it's getting darker and darker on this planet. But as it gets darker, the church should be more excited than ever. I cannot believe the people in America call themselves Christians and shutting down everything. Helping the darkness. On that, letting the light shine. Oh, but Pastor, you don't seem to understand. The future is all digital. I don't care about digital. I care about human beings. Amen. God did not create computers. He created people who have a brain that's 10 times more powerful than a computer. The problem is you don't use it. But it would have the capacity. The plan Satan has for you and me is moving quickly forward to the final stages unless God's people stand up. By the way, you and I have a front row seat. We got the best seats in the theater of this world. We're watching these things unfold. But sooner or later, you have to get out of your seat and get active. Get down on the playing field. John Whitehead wrote many books. I quote you out of one. I give you quite a few quotes from different people now, just to tell you what the foxes are up to. How many of you want to know what are the foxes up to? You know, because you and I always hear, okay, it's COVID, that's going to be, once we conquer that, then everything is going to be good. Well, they told us that in March, correct? 2 weeks, by the way. 2 weeks. Then the curve is flattened. I would have liked to have the people flattened. Forget about the curve. You know? Now, the self-appointed president-elect says, 100 days, just give me 100 days, not forever. Well, he knows he's not going to be alive after 100 days, so we can't hold him accountable. Like it or not, John Whitehead says, the COVID-19 pandemic with its veiled threat of forced vaccinations, contact tracing, and genetically encoded vaccine is propelling humanity at warp speed into a whole new frontier, a surveillance matrix, the likes of which we've only previously encountered in science fiction. Those who eye these developments with lingering mistrust have good reason to be leery. He goes on to explain, the government has long had a tendency to unleash untold horrors upon the world in the name of global conquest, the acquisition of greater wealth, scientific experimentation, and technological advances, all packaged in a guise of the greater good. He goes on to say, indeed, we the people have been treated like lab rats by government agencies for decades now. Caged, branded, experimented upon without knowledge of consent, and then conveniently discarded and left to suffer from the after effects. This is all historically proven. There is a sinister world beyond that which we perceive. One in which power players jockey for control over the one commodity that is a necessary ingredient for total domination. That includes you. By you, I mean you, the individual, in all your singular humanness. Keep that in mind. Singular humanness. It's a word that will be blasted all over the news in the coming days and months. Humanness needs to go. Singularity will replace it. I have studied for years following those trends. went to conferences to see what the smart people had to say in the world, and I could not believe that in 2020 we are already with both feet in that mess. I thought it's going to take a little longer, but obviously I don't know the time frame. I just like to know what these foxes are up to. Remaining, that's John Whitehead, he said, remaining singularly human and retaining your individuality and dominion over yourself. By the way, that's what God gave us. Mind, body, and soul, in the face of corporate and government technologies that aim to invade, intrude, monitor, manipulate, and control us, may be one of the greatest challenges before us. I would say, not maybe. We are in it. We are in it. These are the great things. You and I have to fight that we can keep the nature the way God made us, with all our faults, stay human. If you are going to have to upgrade technologically, you don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't have to depend on God anymore. You're now following the science. Don't do it. I can only warn you, I cannot make the decisions for you. These COVID-19 vaccines, which rely on messenger RNA. How many of you know what the messenger RNA is? Okay, maybe one, two, three people. Most people maybe know what it says, may know the definition, but I have yet to find somebody who actually knows what's going on in your body. The vaccine COVID-19 that's coming out has the mRNA in it. Why? It is a vaccine that produces something which your body is supposed to produce, called protein. And so the problem with that is, once you got it in your body, who is giving that little thing the command what to produce and when? I would like to know. I would like God to be in charge. I would like my immune system to give that command. That's why God made it that way. How many of you know that body is so wonderfully and powerfully made, it can fight anything? He goes on to say, RNA technology that influences everything from viruses to memory are merely the tipping point. Make no mistakes. RNA, if the protein overloads your brain is not functioning properly. You think you've seen a lot of garbage with vaccines when it comes to autistic children? We haven't seen anything yet. That will go on steroids. The groundwork being laid with these vaccines is a prologue to what will become the police state's conquest of a new, relatively uncharted frontier, mental, emotional, of the human race. Wow. If you were unnerved by the rapid deterioration of privacy under the surveillance state, prepare to be terrified by the surveillance matrix that will be ushered in on the heels of the government's rollout of this COVID-19 vaccine. You say, where in the world do I go and hide? Maybe an old hymn will do. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That's where we're going to find our refuge. He's our refuge. He is our strength. And by the way, you don't need that vaccine. Ask God to give you strength. And if some of you get really sick, you know, there are people out there who have already figured out that the very thing the government doesn't want you to own or use will be pretty effective. Okay? Do a little bit homework. I'm not selling anything. I just want to let you know. Have no investment in any. My entire investment is in the kingdom. So I never worry about the stock market. I don't have a dollar there. I don't worry about a retirement account. I got it in heaven where no Martin Ross will take it. You know what? I'm doing fine. I sleep like a log. I mean, beautiful, every night. Never have to worry about it. Never get up in the morning and say, ooh, what else did the foxes do today? I don't care. You know? And I never say good morning, foxes. I always say good morning, Lord. Because He is in charge of my life. So here is what's going on. Don't take it. The term singularity, that is computers simulating human life itself. That's what singularity means. Sometimes you also have a name like transhumanism. Okay? But that's transhumanism is a term that encompasses a lot of stuff. And you say, Pastor, aren't you a theologian? Aren't you just telling us the Bible? Well, Jesus called him fox, not me. I just tell you where the foxes are today. That's all. Listen, one of the biggest problems we have done in the church is dumbing down the people in the pews. We don't have dumb people. We have people who just need to get the information, which they may not have their hands on it, and then they can make solid decisions. And all of you can make your own decisions. You have a brain. You can think. And you're responsible for your own decisions. But I tell you what, God is holding us accountable what we do. None of us escapes. Okay? So he goes on, that is computer simulating human life itself, was coined years ago by mathematical geniuses Stanislaw Ulam and John von Neumann. These are two men, they're normally not showing up on these stupid talking head TVs telling you anything. These are geniuses when it comes to mathematical physicists, theoretical physicists, scientists of the highest capacity. By the way, they didn't use computer brain technology to accomplish this. They did it actually with the brain God gave them. Amazing, isn't it? So, oh, look, don't you like that little guy? He would do no harm to anyone, would he? No, you can tell in his eyes. He just looks like a politician, doesn't he? Awesome. Absolutely incredible. Don't sell that sermon to anyone. Don't send it anyone, okay? But you and I can see when this singularity is going to be pushed forward, there are a lot of sinister, nefarious deals behind it, correct? So, what did these people say actually dug in pretty good? I could have stayed another 15 days on that subject researching it. It was so interesting. But how many of you know you can go down a deep rabbit hole? So I give you a little bit, just a little tiny bit from a few people who are involved in all this, who understand it, who did not want it to go where it goes. But here's the thing. When scientists, I'm talking about genuine scientists, when genuine scientists are not in politics, they want to live in their own four walls and they want to pursue science because they love to discover things. That's a true scientist. We have way too many fake ones. They go for political and for power. And they sell everything. These are not the ones we want to listen to. These are all the ones we're squawking right now. Stay away from them. The first time I talked to a person was a female telling me, oh, Dr. Fauci is like an angel. I said, the question is where he comes from. Hello, heaven. Obviously, I didn't get an answer back. John von Neumann said, that's one of the greatest minds when it comes to this. He said, the ever-accelerating progress of technology gives the appearance of approaching some essential singularity in the history of the race beyond which human affairs, as we know them, could not continue. He said, we are going beyond what we can comprehend today. In other words, there will be no end to it once we open up the box. He said, the plan is to develop a computer network that will exhibit intelligent behavior equivalent to or indistinguishable from that of human beings by 2029. 9 years from now. The implementation for all of us to be kind of lab rats is 2025. The plan is to develop a computer. The plan is, no, it has already been developed, okay? And this goal is to have computers that will be a billion times more powerful than all of the human brains on Earth. Let me give an example. Don't underestimate once Satan is opening up that box. This is knowledge from the other side, by the way. I can't remember the year exactly, but it was a few years ago when Google challenged the top chess player in the world for a game. And they said, Our computer can beat any world champion. And they obviously said there's no way. Making a very long story short, I think it's probably somewhere on YouTube, I assume, because YouTube belongs to Google, so it's got to be there. The computer actually won that game. So they asked later on, how did the computer know that? And they said, that's pretty simple. We downloaded every move ever done on any competition. We videotaped it and we forced it into the computer. Any move ever any human being could ever have made was in there. He knew exactly what's the next move. Let's go a step further. There was a computer at Jeopardy one day. And they said, the computer can outdo anyone. The most difficult question you can ask, our computer knows it. Sure enough, the computer did it. They asked, how in the world did you accomplish that? He said, the computer read the entire encyclopedias in the world. Everything on Wikipedia, everything is in that computer. You say a word, the computer knows what's coming next. High speed. Well, you and I couldn't do that. There's not a lifetime for us to read all that stuff. Forget about comprehending a portion of it. So this is already done. Journalist Marcelo Gleiser is a guy who always hunts for the newest technology and then writes articles in the science magazines. He published an article under the title, The Transhuman Future, Be More Than You Can Be. Now listen, he wrote that. This is Joel Osteen's most favorite phrase. How is it, he says, that we define a human? Is it our body, our genome, our behaviors, our self-awareness, our compassion, our minds? All of these and then something more. What now may be obvious to most people about being human will become less so as we become progressively more integrated with technology, both inside and outside our bodies. This is not future. This is already done. There are many people walking around. Let's go to the next one. There we go. The same journalist, same magazine. The future? Transhumanism will only grow. Technological devices will be implanted in our heads and bodies, are used peripherally like Google Glass, extending our senses and cognitive abilities. Why see only in the visible portion of the electromagnetic spectrum? Let's go ultraviolet, infrared. Hold off a second. Let's open the internal eyes of a human being so he can see into the spiritual. That's what they're after. Forbidden by God. Because that goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Knowledge of good and evil. Let's extend our hearing range. Some of you could use that. Our memory capacity. Some of you probably would apply for that too. Our immune defenses. Who wouldn't sign up for that one? Our lifespan. Wouldn't it be fantastic to be 300 years old? Thank you. What about brain power? Maybe, you know. Remember, the government gives that all for free, okay? You never, yeah, okay. This is in the Science and Technology journals, okay? These journals, by the way, are fantastic to read. You will be amazed what these people are cooking up in their kitchens. It's unbelievable. And the human beings, normally, they don't know because, you know, the talking heads, you know, the mockingbirds, everybody says the same thing at 12 different stations. You know, they don't get this either. They maybe should have some upgrades. They might be a little bit better. It would be worth watching, correct? Okay, now I come to a person. How many of you have ever heard of Ray Kurzweil? Everybody almost has heard that. He's one of the greatest geniuses called, not by me, but by other people. He has more patents in technology than anyone in the world. He has made 108 predictions about what's going on in the future, out of which 96 have already come true. Little examples, you can look it up yourselves. I don't want to bore you in. You know the nice little flat scanners you use today to scan documents? He was the inventor of that. He saw that a long time before it even was available, what we can do. He's also the guy who scans your brain today, correct? It's all Ray Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil was never employed by anyone until a few years ago when Google hired him as the chief over all research. He's an interesting man. By the way, most of the people I mentioned to you are by lineage Jewish. Kurzweil too. His parents escaped the Nazis. Here is what he says. He's the brainchild behind Google, what they do today. Google will know all the answer to your question before you have asked it. It will have read every email you have ever written, every document, every idle thought you've ever tapped into a search engine box. It will know you better than your intimate partner does, better perhaps than even yourselves. End of quote. That's Kurzweil. There is no thing what you have done or were thinking and expressed to someone Google does not have in the cloud. Well, okay, you know, God knows that too. And he doesn't need a computer. But this is what Kurzweil goes. He wrote in his book titled Singularity is Near, when humans transcend biology. That's another word of saying when humans are not anymore the original creation the way God made them. Okay? Kurzweil, by the way, is an atheist. He says, and I'm quoting straight out of the book, artificial circuits replicating themselves at the molecular level. By the way, the mRNA, the M, is for molecular. That's what it stands for. And he wrote that in the book a lot earlier. He said, will merge with the biological circuits that constitute our nervous system, giving rise to an enhanced human superintelligence. What do you think they just put into the vaccine? You say, Pastor, you are a conspiracy theorist. Okay, let me challenge you. So Google knows what you're actually doing. So when you go out, not right now, don't take the phone out. But when you get out here or home, type in Moderna. Moderna is a vaccine producer. Moderna TX for Texas. ModernaTX.com. And then read up what's in the vaccine and how it's explained. They almost verbatim say what this guy said. Read it for yourselves. I always told you, everything I have is open source. There's no secret stuff. Somebody, I can't tell you who it was, told me. Whenever they say, I can't tell you, I said, forget it. When God is in it, light is there. He said, it will attack the nervous system, giving rise to an enhanced human super intelligence. Once this starts happening, what we now call the internet will in effect become telepathic, giving these enhanced humans instantaneous access to all available knowledge and information as they fashion their brave new world. You see how explosive this gets? And it's just the beginning. That's what Kurzweil said. Then he goes on to say, this is what caught my attention in the book. Once the process gets underway, it is underway, by the way, the evolving superintelligence keeps expanding until it permeates the entire planet and still accelerating, eventually, the universe. Make me think about Isaiah. Satan said, I will sit on the throne. I will sit on top of the universe. I will control everything. There we go. That movement should one day facilitate rapid travel beyond our own galaxy, taking the process literally everywhere. In other words, there are other living beings out there, and we introduce them to our technology as well. Or what the Pope would say when they come down here, we'll baptize them into the church, and then they're one of us. But he's also a fox. He'll eat those people. How many of you would say, I would love him to go and tell that fox? We are not going to swallow that garbage. See, one thing they bank on it is that the general populace has no clue what's going on. Because 93% of all men in the United States of America have never read more than one book. They don't read. They don't study. They're busy. But I tell you, man, if you turn your TV off, sell that thing, you all of a sudden have time to read. It's amazing. They depend on us to be busy and not having time to do anything. They got you 7 days a week. I only got you an hour. Maybe two if you come on Wednesday. So, what do you think Jesus would have said to these guys? Go tell that fox. Or those foxes. I would be personally nervous if I would only read this and would not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I am exceedingly, abundantly excited that these people are actually having no fear of publishing that stuff. We can read and say, oh, we're awfully close for Jesus coming back. This is actually pretty exciting stuff. For all those who know Jesus, if you just have played the game of religion, you're not going to make it. I tell you, this is not for the faint-hearted, okay? So if you just played, you go to church, you just played, and you have no personal relationship with Jesus, you still live the way you always lived, you're in big trouble. Again, I'm not going to scare you. I just tell you the truth. You're in big trouble. You will do everything the government tells you because that's the only way that you can function. You lock yourselves up, you lock the churches, you lock everything, and you are fearful like anybody else out there. There is no hope for you. There's no hope in this world apart from Jesus. You need to make it right with God. You need to say, Lord, I'm done with that garbage I'm always doing. I'm done with religious stuff. I want to give my life to you. And I'm saying, here I am. Take me, lead me, guide me, and make me one of yours. That's your ticket out of that stuff. There's no other ticket there. There's no money in the world that will ever save you. You can have 10 bunkers on 15 different former silos and build your bunkers in there. It's not going to happen. Everything will be turned upside down. This is only the beginning what man does. You watch what God does when he comes back. This is nothing what we just read. When God comes back, he'll set the record straight. And I want to be on his side. So let's read what he says. Same book, Gospel of Luke. Let's drop to chapter 21, verses 10 to 19. This is the warning Jesus gives to the same people he talked before. He said, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Get it? This will be your opportunity to bear witness. How do you be a witness? Stand against it. Tell them, go tell that fox. Masks? I played that when I was 3 years old. Okay? Hiding? I did that when I was 4 years old. Hiding under the couch while we're thinking nobody's going to find you. We don't hide. We stand tall, we be witnesses of the power, resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. Jesus said, this is your opportunity. Don't miss it. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Not even computer enhancement can do it. If you want to get wisdom beyond what they're creating, tap into God. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you, they will put to death. Hey, glory to God, you'll be faster up there. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. See that? Top down to 25. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with what? Oh man, we're being trained right now, aren't we? And with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Let me share something with you. Jesus says the very demonic Elohims, the rebels in the spiritual realm, will be shaken. There will be war in the heavenlies of major proportion. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. What do you say about that? Amen. We are heading towards that time faster than we can imagine. I have no idea about God's time schedule, but I know it's moving faster. They plan their thing. God has his plan. Who do you think is going to win it? Oh, and I'm on his side. How about you? No playing games. I said again, my friends, if you are not tapped into the power of Jesus, you only can do by surrendering to him. These promises are not for you. They are yours because you are found in Jesus. So I'm not going to ask you bow your heads, close your eyes, and say a prayer. I'm saying to you, talk to God. You talk to God. Say, Lord, I need to make it right. I'm done with that stuff. Shake religion off. Listen, he is more eager to have you in his kingdom than you are eager to go. The door is wide open for anyone to walk through. It's by the grace of God. The only thing it takes is your faith, which, by the way, is a gift from God to you as well. That's all it takes. He takes you. And it is amazing how your eyes, your focus is going to change. How fear is moving away and faith rises. How you get up in the morning and say, Lord, this is another day. Give me an opportunity to be a witness of your great power. Nothing to cower, nothing to hide, nothing to run from, nothing to fear. You can't lose what you don't have. But that which you have, hold on. The Lord Jesus Christ, hold on to him. It makes all the difference in the world. Let's ask the worship team to come up as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your incredible blessings you pour upon your children. Many times, Lord, we are so bombarded, we don't know anymore where we are to be, what we are to say, what we should do. And then you kind of help us again to refocus. Thank you today for your word. You show us the evil, but you also show us the good. And Lord, you said many times to us, choose this day. We choose to follow good. We choose to follow you. We choose to turn our back on that evil, And we say, no, we make a stand. There is nothing to fear, Lord, because of you. Father, if there are any people in here who did not even know that they played the game of religion, like the Pharisees, may you touch their hearts today. May they don't fight you, but they surrender to you. May their eyes be open and they can see how good you truly are. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus. In a few weeks, we will celebrate that great gift you sent down here to earth. There is no one in the world who can hinder us to celebrate his birthday. Thank you, Father, for protecting us, guiding us, granting us favors with you, favors with people. Keep us healthy and strong, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Or may we be always someone who takes the opportunity to be the witness you want us to be. May the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ be manifested in all of us in great abundance. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, amen. 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 I hope you're ready to say at least in one or two songs to the Lord, thank you.